you know, we talk about skincare and hair, and it, mm-hmm. those two things can sound like surface level, like all about yeah. aesthetics, but my gosh, no, it comes down to, I mean, hair and skin is confidence. Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, you don't know how incredibly eroding these things can be to self-confidence mm-hmm. until you have gone through them.
To that point of what you're saying, it's so interesting how our skin and hair can affect our mental health, our hair identity.
Yes.
Specifically, when I was having hair loss, mm-hmm. I didn't realize how much my hair was my identity.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what, right. as women, we're conditioned. You look at men yes. in Hollywood, and men can be bald.
I know.
They're still like sexy and perfect.
Yeah.
right. Yeah. So that's been hard during pregnancy. But if yeah. my hormonal acne and hair loss has taught me anything, it's mm-hmm. taught me to, how do I say this? I will always appreciate the hair that I have and the yes. skin that I have, even though it's never going to be perfect.
Yes. So yeah, oh, a moment for that.
You're listening to the Imperfect PCOS podcast, where we share no BS, science-backed strategies to put your PCOS into remission. I'm your host, Corey Ruth, aka the Women's Dietitian. Let's get into it.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Imperfect PCOS podcast. Today, we are joined by Care Clark. She is a registered nurse and hormonal acne specialist, teaching women how to transform and love their skin. She immersed herself in the world of skincare and self-care from a young age due to her own skin struggles and became passionate about sharing this knowledge with as many people as possible. Because of this, she became the self-care nurse on social media. Care educates daily on acne solutions, hair loss, skin tips, self-care, dermatology, and showcasing beauty products that she loves. Welcome, Care. I am so excited for this chat today. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Corey. I feel like I've followed you forever.
Stop. Keep going.
PCOS. PCOS is really near and dear to my heart. Yes. So I'm so excited. Thanks for having me.
Yes. That's so cool. I literally everything you say, I'm like, okay, what does Care think about that? Because, you know, like, yes, I work in healthcare, but, you know, I work in the dietetic side. So,
right.
you know, the kind of the beauty product side, the more topical piece to things like skincare, you know, I'm kind of from the inside out. So it's right. really awesome to have you as a resource. And I know this is going to be of such great interest to all of my listeners, you know, not only those who struggle with PCOS, but those who just kind of are, you know, working on things like hair loss and acne, which can have other causes. So first of all, you're pregnant. When are you due? So exciting.
My due date is Halloween.
Wait, okay, stop. Because we were just talking about how I felt like I was in your position like 4 years ago. My daughter's due date was Halloween. Yeah.
No.
Yes. No. Yeah. Okay, she was born on the 27th. She came early. She was 6 days or my water broke 6 days early. Yeah.
I'm so curious to see if it's going to come early or going to come late. It'd be really fun to have a birthday on Halloween too.
Right?
Fun time.
I love it. Yes. All of her parties, we do like costume parties. It's just super fun. That's so cool. Okay. So twinning. Yeah. We'll see when baby comes. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. And I really want to first, because I always love to connect kind of the backstory and, you know, how somebody got into the field that they are in. Tell mm-hmm. us about your personal journey with your skin and how you got into kind of working in the dermatology side of things.
Yes. Okay, so like many people who are skincare obsessed, like myself, usually starts from a reason or a pain point. And for me, yes. that was acne. Mm. And mine started really young. It was probably fifth or sixth grade. Wow. And I started developing really intense, inflamed cystic acne. Ugh, and anyone that has this type of acne knows that it just takes over your entire life in every aspect. So I became obsessed with learning what I could do to treat it and how to improve it. And that's also mm-hmm. when I was introduced to dermatology. I started seeing a dermatologist for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I had this goal in my mind, like, okay, it'd be so amazing if one day I could treat my acne, work in dermatology, and be able to help others do the same.
Yeah.
So that was my whole goal, and started researching about skincare and hormones and why my skin was reacting like this in the first place. Mm-hmm. Eventually went to nursing school and got my BSN and was able to work as a dermatology nurse.
Awesome.
And learned a lot from that. I really like to focus on hormonal acne because that's what I went through. And then I kind of developed my own little method and philosophy behind it, because in the dermatology world, it's a lot of topical based, and we really don't talk about diet, lifestyle, things like that. So I've kind of formed my own little philosophy, mixing the two together. And eventually I started Care Clark BSN, and I coined myself the self-care nurse.
Perfect. It works.
Yeah. And it was so fun. I now get to teach about hormonal acne, and I teach about hair loss, something else that I've gone through as well. Mm-hmm. And I am living my goal, thankfully, and I get to do it all from home, and it's amazing. So that's kind of the origin story to how I came to where I am now.
Oh, I love that. That's just so amazing that you've come full circle. You know, I absolutely, I appreciate that so much. And, you know, we talk about skincare and hair, and those two things can sound, what am I trying to say? What's the word? Like surface level, like all about aesthetics, but my gosh, no, it comes down to, I mean, hair and skin is confidence. Yep. And, you know, you don't know how incredibly eroding these things can be to self-confidence until you have gone through them. Totally hear that. Yeah. Has skin and hair changed for you during pregnancy?
Yeah, a little bit. To that point of what you're saying, it's so interesting how our skin and hair can affect our mental health, our hair identity.
Yes.
Specifically, when I was having hair loss, I didn't realize how much my hair was my identity.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what, as women, we're conditioned. You look at men in Hollywood, and men can be bald.
I know.
They're still like sexy and perfect.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So that's been hard during pregnancy. But if my hormonal acne and hair loss has taught me anything, it's taught me to, how do I say this? I will always appreciate the hair that I have and the skin that I have, even though it's never going to be perfect.
Yes. So a moment for that.
Yeah. There's been some lovely changes that aren't actually lovely, you know, and I'm prepping now for possible postpartum hair loss, but it's really great having the knowledge. I guess the one good thing about going through it in the past is my personality and how I've just researched and become obsessed, because now I have the confidence. If it happens again, I'm going to be okay. I know what to do to treat it.
Yes.
And it's empowering, at least.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, so true. So true. And I felt that with, you know, subsequent, like my second baby versus my first. I had no idea how bad postpartum hair loss. I thought I'd shed a few hairs. I had to buy a robot vacuum to keep up. I'm not kidding. To keep up with how much hair I lost. And it was so devastating. And I was like, is this normal? For me, it was. And it happened again with my son. And at least I was primed mentally to know what was going to happen. But yeah, sometimes it's like a sneak attack. And that can be just even more, you know, all consuming and devastating.
There's no way around it. PCOS is complex and multifaceted. What we know about it, including how best to treat it, is constantly changing. That's why I've dedicated my life's work to helping women put their PCOS into remission. Inside my signature program, the PCOS Boss Academy, women lose weight permanently without restriction and master their most stubborn PCOS symptoms. If you're looking to get pregnant or want to be a mom in the future, my ultra successful Get Pregnant with PCOS program supports moms-to-be every step of the way in conquering PCOS symptoms and bringing home the baby of their dreams. Plus, there's an additional weight loss mode to check into. These are all of the science-backed nutrition and lifestyle tweaks you need to improve your PCOS and change your life from a qualified healthcare provider and leading PCOS expert in the field. Ultimately, we are in control of our PCOS, and I would love to work with you inside one of my upcoming programs so you can step into the best version of yourself and start feeling like you again.
Talk to us about PCOS specifically and hormones and skin, like what, and I can always chime in too, but what is it that you have learned about hormones and how it affects things like acne in our skin?
Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to hear your take on this.
Yeah.
With my own thoughts, a lot of that being my own experience, because I've had PCOS like symptoms, although I've never officially been diagnosed. So that's interesting. Yeah. But there's a clear connection that I see. And that's also why I help a lot of people with PCOS with their acne. Mm. And with PCOS, we see those hormonal imbalances that maybe the average person doesn't have. Mm-hmm. So a couple that come to my mind are the high androgens, aka testosterone.
Right.
We could see the high cortisol, high stress hormone. We can also have the blood sugar imbalances. All those things can contribute.
Mm-hmm.
But the main one that I think about most is the high testosterone, because when we have elevated testosterone, that will directly affect the production of sebum in the skin. Sebum is oil. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of that perfect storm. You have these hormones that are driving it, and then you have the inflammation and the increased oil in the skin. And that's why so many people have breakouts, especially with PCOS, in the cheek, chin, and the jawline area. So that's always an indicator to me that, okay, this is the hormonal factor. Yeah. What have you seen?
Yeah, fascinating. I agree with everything you said. I think bringing in the stress and the inflammation piece is often missed. And I think, you know, we really focus on the testosterone piece, which is, yes, I would say like the main driver, but we can't deny how much something like stress and inflammation can exacerbate literally every health condition in our world. So it doesn't, you know, it's no surprise that it can totally wreak havoc on our skin, you know, if not in addition to elevated androgens, you know, just on its own. So what are, and this is such a tough question. I'm guessing, I feel like when someone asks me, what are your top tips for PCOS? I'm like, how much time do you
where
have?
Where do I start?
Yeah. How many days do you have to talk about this? What would you say your like top three tips for skincare when it comes to something like acne? If someone's struggling listening to this and they're looking for more answers, maybe something that they haven't tried. You know, I'm always like, what's Kara talking about? What are her skincare tips? What would you say for acne and breakouts?
Okay, if I could simplify it down.
Yeah.
Like you. Yeah. First would be obviously skincare. Skincare can take you really far in treating the acne you have. Okay. So my tip for that would be to create a skincare routine that's personalized to your own skin. Mm. Everyone's skin is different. So make sure it's something that you'll stay consistent with, that you really like and is good for your own skin, that has acne fighting ingredients in it.
Okay.
So something like a benzoyl peroxide, a salicylic acid, that will take you really far.
Mm-hmm.
The second tip that kind of goes hand in hand with this is not just focusing on the skincare, but also looking at the internal, looking at the root cause of why your acne is happening, which is big with hormonal acne, because hormonal acne isn't caused by not washing your face. It's not because you're unhygienic. We have the hormones that are triggering this cycle. So if you can figure out the root cause, if you have PCOS, that could mean working with a PCOS specialist like you and getting blood work and really working on supporting our hormones.
Right.
And those two things together, the skincare will help treat, focusing on the root cause that will help prevent and sustain the results that you have.
Awesome.
And number three, this is my tip that goes for everyone, not just for acne, but if there's one thing you could do to improve your skin starting today, if there was one product, if I could only use one product for the rest of my life.
Oh my God, what is it? I'm like, am I using it?
Yeah, it would be wearing sunscreen.
Oh, yes.
Single day.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And that's all I'll say. I'm just going to say wear your sunscreen every day, and I promise you will see results. Although I get it, it's hard. Some people are like, oh, I haven't found a sunscreen I like. I promise there are so many good sunscreens out there. And once you find one you really love, you won't want to go a day without it. And you'll start seeing amazing improvements in your skin.
That's so cool. And yeah, I know. Yeah. When I think of sunscreen, I think of like greasy slathering, like when I'm already hot, like hot and like half burnt. Okay. So there's definitely alternatives out there. That's amazing. What about for things like preventing like fine lines, wrinkles, you know, and I maybe am asking this selfishly because I'm in my mid 30s now. So
I don't see any fine lines.
Oh, so it's the lighting. Yeah. What about, you know, these are inevitable for us. So yes. Like, what about something like that? Like what would we look for in like a high quality product as far as like a topical along with sunscreen?
Yes. In terms of specific skincare concerns, I would say definitely figure out your concern first. So if it's fine line and wrinkles and connect that with the type of skincare active, that will help. So my always go-to for this is a retinol. And whenever my friends come to me and they're like, hey, I'm thinking about getting Botox, I have these wrinkles and fine lines that are really bugging me.
Right.
I don't let them even consider getting it until they're using a retinol.
Okay.
So retinol will literally transform your skin. It's amazing. And it's very likely if you're wanting to get Botox, use your retinol and you might not even want it anymore after using
it. Yeah. Very cool.
The other thing, a lot of time we see fine lines and wrinkles when our skin is dehydrated. So just making sure we have really hydrating products in our routine, and it's very possible you'll see less of that.
Very cool. What about, I've heard a lot about like a vitamin C. Is that something else, like more on the wrinkle fine line side versus acne? Okay.
Vitamin C and retinol, those are my two favorites. And combined together, they can just do wonders for your skin. So vitamin C in the morning, retinol at night.
Okay.
That's the perfect combo. So I think of retinol kind of as your nighttime refining the skin. It'll refine your skin overnight. Vitamin C is going to protect your skin during the day. So it's the perfect combo.
Oh, the magic duo. I love it.
Yes.
Very cool. What about something like dry skin, eczema type of situation? Are there specific things that you recommend for that?
Yes. Dry skin, again, using really hydrating products. So using toner in your routine could be great. Using a hydrating serum. A really fun trick that I like to do is called slugging. Have you heard that?
I have, and I have no idea what it is. Like, what the hell is it? But yes, I've heard of it.
Yeah, slugging can be really great for dry skin. Basically, at the end of your routine, it's putting a layer of, you can do Vaseline or a facial oil, and it acts as that protective layer to hold all of your skincare products in.
Okay.
Prevent dehydration. So slugging can be really great for dry skin.
Yeah.
For eczema, I really love products that have colloidal oatmeal in it. That can be really soothing. And then trying to avoid really hot water when you're washing your skin. And when you're taking a shower, that can definitely aggravate things.
Yes. Dang it. I love like a good like Satan sauna when I'm in the shower. But I get it. Yeah. What are some skincare products that you are loving now? I mean, obviously we're not going like ham on the branding, but I mean, I think it's great to point women in like the direction, you know, there's just so many things out there.
Yes.
And I speak from experience because I, again, I'm not like fully immersed in this world. And when I look at like potential products, I'm like, which one do I get? There's so much good stuff. There's so much crap. Like, how do we know what to look for? What, and what are some things that you love?
Yes. Skincare can be really intimidating.
Yeah.
For sure. And it doesn't have to be. The basic you can start with is just cleanser, moisturizer, SPF. Once you have those basics down, that's when I start to say, okay, let's add in some skincare actives that can start working towards your skin goals or treating a specific skin concern.
Okay.
So I've mentioned retinol. I've mentioned vitamin C. Those are two top ones. Okay. I also love using an exfoliant twice a week. And I prefer using an exfoliating acid over just a physical exfoliant scrub.
Oh, interesting.
Because the acids, it sounds scary. It's not scary. It will really get into your skin and clear out your pores on a deeper level. So if you have blackheads, using an exfoliating acid will just mix them all together.
Okay.
Yeah. And I use a lot of different products because I'm obsessed, but there's so many good budget-friendly options you can get over the counter at Target.
Nice.
And then there's also some great medical grade products that are expensive. I would say you can see results with both. I would say invest in maybe those actives that I talked about in really treating a skin concern if you're going to spend more money.
Right.
And then choose a more budget-friendly option for the basics like a cleanser, moisturizer, sunscreen.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have like a couple brand recommendations like from Target or some of the more medical grade if somebody's looking for that?
Yes. Okay. From Target off the top of my head, Naturium.
Yeah, put you on the spot.
Naturium is amazing. Naturium has a ton of those actives that you used to only be able to get really fancy, expensive brands. So Naturium.
Love it.
I love CeraVe. I love Verst. I love Bioderma. Those are a few you can look at Target.
Okay. Awesome.
Medical grade ones that I usually go for. I love SkinCeuticals and Skin Medica. What else? There's Is Clinical. And then there's also the in-between, like you can get at Sephora.
Yeah.
So from Sephora, I love Caudalie. I love Kiehl's. Dermalogica and Beekman 1802. Yeah. Those are at Ulta. So
good to know.
It's a lot.
That's good to know.
You have to play around and find what's best for your budget and your skin type. So take it slow.
Yes. There's definitely things that I would want to splurge on and others that I'm like, that's not my top priority. So I'm going to kind of dial it back there because, you know, mama needs to put food on the table still. So that's great. Thank you so much for those suggestions. I know a lot of us have access to, a Target or something nearby. So cool. And how, you know, we talk a lot about like hormone friendly products. Are there like things, a few big red flags that you know of that you're like, okay, that's not going to be a product I would recommend? Because again, like there's just such a wide range of information out there. And again, so many products that we're oftentimes like, what is actually considered, you know, air quotes, safe for me to use? I mean, we're absorbing it. So,
Scary. With clean beauty, I'm definitely not on the side of only using clean beauty products. Although there's so many clean beauty brands that I use and love. As far as my research has gone, I have not found that there's one skincare product that I use that will directly negatively affect my hormones. I still love using clean beauty brands, but I'm not limiting my routine to that only. Just something to think about. So for example, with a clean beauty brand, they might not have preservatives in their products. It, which you're like, okay, great. But then if you go and buy a clean beauty product 2 months down the road, that it might be growing mold. So there's nuance to everything.
Yes.
Yeah. There's
very
nuance
true.
To everything.
Right.
But I totally respect if someone only wants to go clean beauty. So if that's the case, I would recommend literally just going on Instagram and TikTok. There's so many amazing creators that only use non-toxic products.
Yes.
And then I also direct people to the EWG app, which I'm sure you've seen and know about. And you can have it on your phone and look up a specific product and it will tell you what ingredients you should watch out for and what the rating is for that product.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I've been known to like walk around Target with my app, with my like looking up different things. People are probably like, wow. But it's a great, that's a good resource. Cool. Okay. Awesome. I wanted to talk about skin and then I actually do want to just really quickly touch on hair loss too, but how does skin change throughout our cycle? Is that something that's kind of standard or like, why do some people notice more acne around ovulation or like their period? That does, for me at least, I do notice that it can flare around that time.
Yeah. everyone's a little bit different, and women as cyclical creatures, our hormones are constantly fluctuating throughout the month. So the most common one that I see in terms of acne breakouts, I see a lot of this happening right before someone's period starts, because this is when estrogen drops. I think of estrogen a lot of the time as that skin happy hormone. And when estrogen is low, testosterone is higher. So like we talked about previously, the testosterone and the skin, they don't always bode well together. But everyone's a little bit different. So what I usually recommend for this is taking your calendar or taking your period tracker and starting to track your skin symptoms all throughout your cycle. So some people, their skin can be like glowing and beautiful during ovulation, and then some people can break out during ovulation. So tracking and starting to notice when your skin triggers happen throughout your cycle, that can be really helpful. And we can figure out when that's happening for you and your own hormones, and then take action towards it.
I love that idea. That little journal is so powerful. And that also, you know, comes back to managing those hormones that we have out of whack, like testosterone, and, you know, cortisol, all of these things.
Easier said than done.
I know. Totally. I know. It's definitely a journey. It definitely is. It's not something that we can like completely clear up overnight. I wish we could Amazon Prime it, but.
I know.
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
Yes. Let's shift gears to talk about, since this is something that you specialize in, to talk about hair loss. And, you know, if somebody's experiencing a noticeably larger amount of hair shedding, hair loss, hair thinning, it's scary. What is like the first thing they would do to, you know, get on the path to working on reversing that? What's the first thing that women should do? And I get so many DMs, like I literally, people send me pictures of the hair that is falling out. And I'm like, okay, like this is a whole, I can't address this in a DM. Like we have to go deeper. What do you typically do? Like first step.
It's so hard.
I've been there.
Definitely been there. And when I think about mine, my similar to hormonal acne, it's okay, what's the root cause here?
Yes.
Okay. So when I started having my own hair loss, I looked at all the possible triggers. And when I looked back at all the triggers, I ended up realizing I had not just one, but I had like seven different triggers.
Great. Where did I start?
Yes. So there's a lot of them. Some that I see are starting birth control, getting off birth control. Obviously, PCOS, or if you don't know, if you aren't diagnosed, it's possible someone has PCOS symptoms. And that could be an indicator. So many different things. COVID, getting COVID can be one of them.
Yeah, I heard that.
If I could give beyond that two big tips for hair loss, it would be to start using a hair growth serum. This isn't going to correct, you know, and stop the hair loss from happening, but it's going to help stimulate the hair follicles and try to get more hair growth. And then also taking a hair growth supplement, or taking supplements, you know, and making those lifestyle changes that will help support the hair. Because with hair, you know, when you're losing so much hair, at the end of the day, hair growth requires energy to grow. So like always, I feel like a broken record. We have to start at the root. We have to lower stress, and we have to figure out why it's happening before we can take action. And then depending on where that trigger is coming from, everyone's action steps are going to be a little bit different. But everyone can definitely benefit from using a hair growth serum and then some form of hair supplement.
Got it. Yeah, those are great tips. And you know, figuring out what's driving it is number one. So, you know, you can get some lab testing done. Are there labs that you would typically recommend if somebody's dealing with acne or hair loss?
probably the same ones that you recommend for your clients. Looking at the sex hormones, doing a full blood panel, although not all doctors will do a full blood panel.
I know.
Iron, vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. I remember wanting to get blood work done for mine and wanting to do some of the more extensive ones, and it was a battle. And the thing with blood work too, with hair loss, I was losing hair like crazy and all my blood work came back normal.
Oh, shocker.
Getting blood work is for sure, like, okay, check that off the list.
Right.
And you're not crazy if everything comes back normal, because sometimes blood work can just be a snapshot of what's happening right there. It's not the full picture. So
And there's you can't just get like your past work stress results in a blood test an average over the last 3 months. I know we have to consider, you know, other things. You know, you can get your thyroid checked. I always recommend vitamin B12 as well. Iron, vitamin D, testosterone. I like to look at blood sugar, fasting insulin, you know, glucose, A1C, just to kind of see if that's potentially playing a role. And it's, you know, insulin resistance and PCOS. But you know, you have to consider something also, you know, stress, trauma, surgery. These can all trigger hair loss too. So definitely something to, you know, look back on and say, has there been any big stressor, you know, physically or mentally, emotionally that's happened? I know my dad, he passed away just totally unexpectedly in 2016. And literally like 3 months later, I started losing hair, and I couldn't figure it out because I didn't know about that connection. And it wasn't until I started digging into the research, seeing, oh my God, this really is real. Okay. I felt like I was losing my shit. I was like, okay, am I going crazy? Like, I feel like I'm just, I'm like, I'm losing a bunch of hair, but I'm also still in this, you know, big grieving period. And it was like, you know, adding insult to injury. It was so hard, but I wish we knew more about that connection between like stress and trauma, and how our body is not going to prioritize, you know, growing thick, you know, healthy hair at that time. It's really working kind of in survival mode. And yeah, I think another, you know, one thing that you said, which stood out, was stopping birth control. That in and of itself can potentially trigger hair loss. But also, if you've been taking birth control, you might be have been covering up something like acne or hair loss that could have been a result of PCOS, and you could have never realized it. And then all of a sudden, you're like, wow, okay, I'm having PCOS symptoms, but I've never had a diagnosis. So that can kind of happen too, where we've been sort of, you know, covering it up with synthetic hormones that have been kind of acting as this band-aid, and we rip it off, and then boom, all of a sudden all these problems pop up, literally.
What you said too, I see that really, really often of hair loss starting a couple months after some type of event. So like talking to my friend, like, oh, I got my IUD in a couple months ago. Oh, I had surgery a couple months ago. There's something about that 2 to 3 month period where the hair cycle shifts. Mostly what I see is the hair cycle causing the hair loss. It's when the hair is in the telogen phase, which is the resting phase. Which is like, oh, resting. Well, resting is when your hair falls. So it's like more, a higher percentage of the hair is no longer growing, and it's more shifted into resting. And for some reason, it's always 2 to 3 months to where that starts to happen, where you can notice it. So it's often not something that, okay, I did something yesterday and my hair loss started today. It must be the same shampoo I'm using. It's usually something that occurred a couple months prior.
Yeah, totally. It's so fascinating. I when I learned that, I was just, wow, I had no idea. Nobody talks about that. So definitely something to consider if you're suddenly noticing hair loss, and you know, you might have had blood work and it came back normal. Think about lifestyle and think about life events. Obviously the postpartum hair loss one, we know, you know, I remember reading, oh, like postpartum hair loss could start anywhere between like, I don't know, like 3 to 6 months or something, literally 3 months to the day after I had my son. This last one, I looked at my brush and I was like, damn it. Like, it's starting again. I was hoping, praying that maybe I would evade it by some miracle. But yeah, it was just super, super intense. And yeah, you know, the great thing about hair loss and acne is, as we know, and, you know, listening to this chat and, you know, just following you on your social media, it's something that we have more control over than we think. So let that empower you if you're, you know, listening to this, struggling, and you feel like you are just, there's nothing you can do. You've tried everything. There are definitely things that you might not have tried. Are there more like, and I'm going to give you an example of this.
Okay.
Are there more like, I would say, less conventional recommendations that you give women when it comes to skin and hair? And I'm going to tell you the one that comes to mind for me as an example is changing my shower filter. Like, never would have realized that. But I really do. And I've only been using it for like 2-3 weeks, but I really do feel like it's made a difference. I am somebody who, ever since I had my son, oh my God, pregnancy changes so much that we don't even think about. I started having eczema after I had my son for the first time ever. And I could not figure it out. I did a lot of work in my gut health. That was helpful. But I really feel like it's even impacted that. Like, my skin doesn't feel as itchy. And that was really cool. So that's what I mean by like unconventional. Okay, not the first thing you would think of.
Yes. First off, what shower filter did you get?
The one you recommended, Jolie, and it's gold and it's so cute and I love it.
Okay. I'm so glad.
My fiance is like, what is this? We have a shower filter. I was like, okay, let me explain.
It's superior. Shower filter for skin and hair.
Yes.
Totally. I love that recommendation. Silk pillowcase for hair loss.
That's my next move. Yes.
Yes. Silk pillowcases are amazing. It helps prevent the excess friction and pulling.
Yes.
And similar to sleeping, washing your pillowcases frequently. For acne. I also really love red light therapy. Using red light for hair growth. And for skin health, acne, you can use a blue light rather than a red light.
Okay.
But yeah, I love those few options.
Awesome. Those are great suggestions. And I want to double up on the silk pillowcase. I also changed my hair ties from like the, you know, like grabby elastic to like the silk scrunchie.
Yeah.
I'm not so perfect. Good. I don't wear them every day. Like when I have this little bun action, I just use a regular one, but I love those. And I feel like they don't yank at my hair as much because I have very, very, very fine hair. I always have. So I'm always like, break it off.
I'm the same.
Awesome. Those are great tips. So before we wrap up, I would love to know how you work with clients, how you work with women. I know you're probably taking a nice leave for a little bit, but how can listeners, where do they find you? How can they work with you? I just think you're such a wealth of knowledge, and I definitely want to connect listeners and followers to you. So lay it on us. How can they find you? How do you work with clients? Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. So main places where I'm active every day is TikTok and Instagram, and that's Clark BSN on both accounts. Working with people, I don't do one-on-ones, but I did create online courses for hormonal acne and hair loss. So for acne, that's my Acne Killers Academy. And for hair loss, it's called Hair Growth Goddess. And it's basically everything that I would teach in a one-on-one session, but it allows someone to go through step-by-step and create their perfect routine for themselves.
I love that.
So it's
like customizable kind of.
Yes, it's customizable. So cool. You can take it at your own pace. You can find that through my accounts. And by the time this podcast comes out, I should have my new website.
Cool.
Haven't had a website like all year.
And nice. One thing at a time.
Is a web designer. And she create this beautiful website. Yay. All thanks to her. So that should be up soon. And then I've been starting YouTube recently, and that's been really fun.
Awesome.
So far, I've just been posting lifestyle and some pregnancy content, but I'm planning on doing more beauty and skincare and health
cool.
content there.
So
and then message me. Anyone can always message me. I get a lot of messages and I'm really bad at responding, but I really try to. So you can always message me if you have any question or need skincare recommendations or tips or advice or anything.
Oh, great. Fabulous. Yay. Good. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for your time. This was such a great chat. And I feel like again, just so needed, you know, as women and boosting our confidence and helping us figure out, you know, how do we get to where we want to go with our skin and our hair? So needed.
Yay. I'm so glad. Thanks for having me. It was so much fun.
All right. Thanks, Clay.